I am speaking with Brian Long on his latest monthly report on Southwest Michigan's economy. Thank you very much for taking some time to speak with us.
A pleasure to be with you.
How well would you say the economy in Southwest Michigan is performing based on your latest survey?
Well, according to our latest survey, we've just turned in one of the strongest reports we have in over 2 years. Needless to say, we're still digging out of that recession that we got into many, many, many months ago now, but the signs for Southwest Michigan are still very good.
What's contributing to those strong numbers?
Primarily, this recovery is still automotive driven. I know we've said that we want our state to diversify, but we haven't diversified as much yet, and we're still relegated to the old automobile industry that built this state and to a certain extent built the employment base of a lot of the industry as far as the west side of the state of Michigan is concerned. And when automobile sales are good, our automotive parts suppliers do well, and of late, they have done very well.
Now, it's interesting, when I think back to some of your reports from a few years ago, often it would be the case that Southwest Michigan was doing a little better than the rest of Michigan because it wasn't quite as reliant on the auto industry as, say, the southeast part of the state is. But it's still a big enough factor that it's helping things along at this point, correct?
It is indeed still a big enough factor that that is the driving force between that and the office furniture business in Grand Rapids, which actually saw a little bit of an uptick this month. And I guess we have to also credit the housing market, because the housing market affects almost all of the economies around the United States, and almost all of the major statistics have been influenced by an upturn not only in housing, but from an industrial standpoint, housing construction. We have a lot of companies on the west side of the state of Michigan that supply the construction industry in various forms. And, of course, those factories have been very much humming and very much doing better than they had anticipated by this time a year ago. And that is driving part of our recovery as well. But, of course, a rising tide floats all boats. When all of these industries combined are doing well, so does everything else. I mean, everything from the corner grocery store to all the other support that we have in the area, that is, of course, influenced as well when any industry is doing well.
But your report also warns us that the national economy is not at the same place where Southwest Michigan's economy is, right?
Regrettably not. Of course, again, coming back to the same thing, the auto industry continues to go beyond where we thought it would go. And, of course, that has helped us locally stay ahead of the rest of the nation. And I guess we have to come back to and look at all of the economy, too, because the aerospace economy has had its ups and downs, and that's largely West Coast, although we have local suppliers to that industry as well, and that has tapered off some. Most of our export business is off some, too, largely because of Western Europe not doing as well and China not doing as well. And when that happens, of course, we expect that the nation as a whole is probably going to feel it some. And that is exactly what's happening to us now. We're just not as strong nationally as we are locally.
Is there a limit, based on what you've seen in these reports over the years, is there a limit to how long the economy of a state or one region of a state can continue to outperform the national or even the world economy?
Well, all of it relates to whatever they are producing, of course. And in our case, it's automobiles. Now, let's be honest. This market has to top out soon because we're ahead of the theoretical point of where we should be selling cars right now. The standardized rate came in this past month at 5.2 million cars. That means that seasonally adjusted is our annual rate at which we were selling cars. Well, that's ahead of where we should be right now. And some credit it to pent-up demand, saying that the financing has gotten a little bit more accommodating, and as a result, people are now buying, and they're looking forward to the summer, and that's causing increasing numbers of cars being sold, and of course, consumer confidence is up. That is in part driving automobile sales. But all of this will top out soon and probably settle in at about a 3% growth rate. Now, what this says is that when that point happens, if it happens in an orderly fashion, that won't be any problem for Michigan. But if it happens as a result of some kind of a catastrophe, i.e. a collapse in one of the major economies of the world, such as in Western Europe or China or something like that, well, then I'm afraid that overnight we will see automobile sales dry up and we'll be back looking at lower sales as far as the state is concerned, and that will slow our production down, and then we're back to the same problem again, that even though we like to think that we're getting out of automotive, we're still too much of an automotive state to say that we have diversified that much. Even though the biotech is coming on strong, we have a ways to go on that, and it may be 20 years before we can say that we've totally separated ourselves from the automotive cycle.
When you say that automotive sales have to top out, is the basic theory here that most people don't own a lot of cars unless they're mega millionaires or something, and therefore most people buy a car every 4 or 5 years, maybe even longer. So therefore, there's only so many purchases of automobiles that are going to happen in, as you say, an orderly fashion?
Yeah. Well, and what we're talking about, of course, is miles driven. There's just so many miles that the average car is good for. Now, of course, that's been extended tremendously in more recent years. It's not unusual to hear people that have 300,000 miles on their car, but that's still pretty much the exception. And the American cars that had a terrible problem as far as quality is concerned have turned the corner, and they are building good cars now. And so nobody thinks too much of a car that has 150,000 miles on it. And what they will do is repair the car until it becomes economical to buy a new car rather than to continue to repair an old one. But it all hinges back to that key phrase, miles driven. The number of miles driven is up just a little bit in this state right now, and not enough to match the rather dramatic swing that we've seen in automotive sales. So at some point, as I said, the market will become saturated.
And also gas prices then may figure into that as well. If people do cut back on driving, perhaps that car lasts a little bit longer because it doesn't put quite as many miles on.
Well, and that's a possibility too, but it's always turned out to be rather minor. Someplace around $4 a gallon, people start to take a look at gas prices. But the fact is, this last month, if you look at the sales figures, what sold is all the fuel inefficient vehicles. The SUVs, the big trucks, and that type of thing, that's what drove the sales for this past month. And the more fuel-efficient cars, some of them actually tapered off some, which says even at $4 a gallon, we're getting a bit of the so-called ho-hum on the part of the general public, that they're getting to that point that they're just accepting the higher price and then going ahead and buying what they want to buy. Do they have the money to do it? Yes, of course they do. It's just a case of allocation. This is a country that's spending $18 billion a year on bottled water. So, I mean, we're looking at a tremendous amount of discretionary income out there that can be spent the way people want it to be spent. And some have decided that they want to spend it on gasoline to run a four-wheel drive vehicle, which they are, of course, entitled to do. But to say that rising gasoline prices are going to inhibit sales, not that much, and particularly not that much over the long term.
What are some things we might look for in the next weeks or months that might give us an idea of what direction the economy is headed, whether the economy is going to continue to recover or whether we might begin to see some slowdowns?
Well, what we have to watch, of course, is the interest rates, because they have started to creep up right now, despite the Fed trying to hold a lid on them. The fact is that interest rates could come up, and that would tend to put a damper on some of the expansion that we've seen, not only just in the stock market, but also in terms of higher interest rates for almost everything, from housing to car loans to business loans. That is certainly a factor. The other thing that we always have to watch is, of course, the international situation. Right now, it appears as though Europe is kind of quieted down a bit. We're not as concerned, because a lot of the programs that they put in place to correct their problems seem to be catching hold, seem to be working, although on a daily basis, there's some question of that. There has been a question lately about China. We get figures from China that the government produces, and almost anybody looking at these numbers knows that they're not just exactly honest numbers, that the government has fudged the numbers to make them look a little bit better. But when we look at some of the other non-governmental numbers, we find that the Chinese economy is pretty much flat right now, which says that since they are now our second largest customer, that can be a problem for us, particularly if this Chinese economic miracle that they've generated for the last 15 or 20 years should happen to come to an end right here. And once again, they experience some kind of a recession, which they don't even know the meaning of the word, but if you look at the present statistics, but that would be a major influencer of our markets as well.
Okay. Anything else we should know?
Oh, I think that's pretty much what I've had on my mind this month. Looking forward, of course, to the upcoming statistics to see if we can retain this level right here, because we will as long as the car sales hold up. But as you probably noticed, the General Motors sales weren't as strong. And I mean, that's still our biggest company in the state, both in terms of employment and also in terms of number of firms supplying General Motors. That's still our biggest customer base, if you will, for our auto parts suppliers on this side of the state. And when they start to slow, that's a problem. Locally here, though, we've been fortunate that many of our local companies have found that the Japanese transplants and the Korean transplants are very good customers. And little by little, they've moved some of their production and to those plants that are producing transplant cars. And of course, we can do very good quality on this side of the state. We have a very good productive workforce, much more so. I hate to dock the other side of the state, but the fact is we do it better on this side of the state. We can do it better. We can do better quality. We can do it at a better price. And that's the reason that they're coming to us, and the reason that our economy is doing a little bit better right now. We have the knowledge base. We have the people, and we're able to pull it together. Now, granted, there are other parts suppliers all over the world that compete against us, but right now we've settled into a particular niche. And I look forward to this moving forward, because we've developed a model on this side of the state, in my opinion, that can bolster not only our local economy, but also the rest of the state.